You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. For decades, it was common practice for doctors to tell parents who had a baby born with intellectual or developmental disabilities to drop that baby off at an institution and basically forget about them. Many times, these children were cut off from their families and their communities for their entire lives. In the 1970s, there was a nationwide deinstitutionalization movement, and options for community-based living were created, which allowed people with disabilities to live in community-based settings and to participate as full community members. A new film that is titled The Blessings of Liberty delves into this history, and the Idaho Council on Developmental Disabilities created this film. Joining me live in studio to talk more about the film and why it is needed are Christine Pisani. She is Executive Director of the Idaho Council on Developmental Disabilities, and Rochelle Tierney. She is a Communications and Community Advocate Coordinator with the University of Idaho, but also a parent of a child with disabilities. Thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you, Gemma.
So, Christine, I was told that this movie really was your brainchild. Tell me why you decided to take on something like this.
It was a result of the year of 2017. We spent the entire year, starting in March of that year, really organizing families and adults with disabilities across our state to help inform our policymakers at the federal level, helping them to set up meetings with Representative Simpson and then Senator Crapo to help them understand that the attempt that was being made was called block granting Medicaid. And essentially what that means is that there would be a lump sum payment made to the states, and it would be up to the states to come up with the tab once that money was spent. Oftentimes, the language that's used in the rhetoric around block granting Medicaid mm-hmm. is flexibility to the states. And ultimately, the reality of block granting is that over time it will fall to the states to come up with the funds to pay for the current system. And once that lump sum runs out, it's up to Idaho. And that's 70% that we would have to come up with.
So tell me right now with how the funding works, how it works, but also, what is it used for when we're talking about people with developmental and intellectual disabilities?
I'm going to let Rochelle answer that because she is a parent and she and her son access home and community-based services.
Okay. So, Rochelle, talk to me about that.
All right. So I have a 21-year-old son, and we access home and community-based services under a self-directed waiver. So with that, based on the level of his needs and his disability, we have a set amount of funds. We direct his care where we are able to hire individuals to come into our home and work with him on building his independence and his living skill needs. He goes out into the community where he takes classes. He's participated in a class at Boise State. He also takes classes at Fort Boise, and he has a part-time job where this individual can then support him to do all of those things. It really gives him that access mm-hmm. to be like any other 21-year-old.
And this money is, mm-hmm. as you said, you are given that money to get this care for him based on funding coming from the federal government.
Yes, that's correct. And there is a state portion as well. And so when we talk about the block granting that, mm-hmm. The funds will come from the federal government in this lump sum, meaning that the state would then have to, after those are all expended, come up with mm-hmm. the rest of that. So it really puts his services in jeopardy of being able to access the community the way that he does.
Go ahead, Christine.
So home and community-based services are optional services to the state. So that means that since they're optional, and if there isn't funding, those services go away. And right now, those services provide home and community-based support to seniors and people with disabilities. And they're long-term services. So you don't find these types of services available in private insurance. So these are nursing home level of care eligibility, where I could receive that type of care if I needed assistance to get out of bed, mm-hmm. to help me get dressed, help me with meals, help me with toileting, all those life, crucial life activities that we all do so that I can stay in my home.
And this is, as you said, this is for seniors and this is for people with disabilities.
Correct.
So is the concern then, if this goes through in Congress and block grant Medicaid happens and states get a lump sum, when it runs out, what will happen?
Well, what we're afraid of is that the state would have few alternatives but to resurrect institutions. Mm. And part of the reason that the film is so important is because we try to help people understand what life was like before we had home and community-based services. And we have a former employee of the state school and hospital who worked there for about 34 years who talks about babies coming to the institution, growing up at the institution, not really seeing families come back to see their loved ones, and the separation of families. And there were no resources for families. There were no alternatives. So once home and community-based services became available and people had the option to keep their kids at home and get some support, and adults have support in the community to grow up and live and work in their home communities, that changed everything. So the fear is for people with disabilities and families, if we take that money away mm-hmm. and we limit the ability for people to access these home and community-based services, there won't be a lot of our alternatives but to look at institutional living again.
I'm speaking with Christine Pisani. She's executive director of the Idaho Council on Developmental Disabilities, and Rochelle Tierney. She's a mom of an adult son with developmental disabilities. Rochelle, I would think that if you had to pay for this out of pocket, this would be highly expensive, to say the least.
Yeah.
So you couldn't give your son the lifestyle that he has, just the ability to be a part of the community.
Right. It would really take a lot. We would have to look at someone staying home with him rather mm-hmm. than being out in the workforce. And we have a family. So it is important, and it just really gives him that independence of being able to work with other people out in the community.
You know, it's interesting because when we think about the fact that deinstitutionalization started in the 70s, there are many Americans who have no knowledge of what it used to be like. And when we don't have that, sometimes it's hard to actually conceive that babies were dropped off at institutions. And is this also part of the reason for the film, Christine?
Correct. We wanted to help policymakers understand that home and community-based services haven't always been available. In 1965, Congress made Medicaid available for people with intellectual disabilities because of institutions and, you know, really Geraldo Rivera breaking the news, going into an institution and really showing the world what life was like, which was horrific for mm-hmm. people with disabilities. And it was like that across the country in every institution.
Right. This was not exclusive to Idaho.
No.
And what's interesting, too, is that when you look at how institutions were run, the fact of the matter is that now when you see people who are living at home or they're living in a community home, they're able to get a part-time job like your son. They're able to participate in the community. That didn't happen in institutions because there just wasn't the ability to do all of that, correct?
Right. I think the more that people are included in typical life activities, the more you're going to see people with disabilities shine because they have all kinds of abilities that often people just overlook mm-hmm. because they don't take the time to get to know individuals and the amazing skill sets that they have.
So in 2017 is when there was this congressional attempt to block the block grant Medicaid, the funding. Where are you at? Where is it at right now?
Well, the disability advocacy community across the country really organized and really mobilized people. And, I mean, we had members of a group called ADAPT that went to the congressional floors and blocked hearings to try and really impress upon policymakers the value of our home and community-based services. And I think the disability community deserves a lot of credit for really stopping that momentum on those pieces of legislation. And there's concern again because Politico and the Washington Post have both covered some work that Seema Verman at the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid are doing currently to try and make it a possibility, again, only through rules, to offer to the states the option to apply for these Medicaid block grant waivers. They're trying to bypass Congress to do that. So it's always a threat, and so that's why we feel like we always have to be vigilant about educating people about these services. They've been in place since 1965. They haven't all been in place since 1965. It's taken us that long to build a tremendous community development service that we have now, but people would like it to just remain the way it is.
Well, because it comes down to the fact that it's respecting every individual.
Right.
And do you, is that what you think about, Rochelle, when you think about your son?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And because this is an optional waiver, you know, it is frightening to think about the possibility of not having access or not having that type of service and what it could really look like for our son's future. So, yeah.
And the film is actually going to be screened this week. So tell me about that, because people are welcome to come and actually be able to watch this film.
Correct. We are screening this film for the very first time tomorrow at 4 o'clock at the Capitol Building. Originally, it was advertised in the Lincoln Auditorium, but there will be a hearing at that time. So we've been moved to the East Wing, which is the House side of the Capitol, in room 42 and room 40 and some other House committee rooms, because we're expecting about 250 people. So we're going to have to put people in
different
rooms.
You're going to have to dance a little bit, but you're going to get it shown for everyone who wants to be there and see it.
Yes, and we've really worked hard at trying to get as many legislators there, because we really need for them to see the film and to understand that ultimately our legislators will be left holding the bad decision of telling people with disabilities and seniors, about 20,994 people who access home and community-based services, that not all of our optional services may be funded, because if block grant happens, that's ultimately what would happen.
I want to thank both of you for coming in today and shedding light on this for myself and our listeners. So thank you so much. My guest today, Christine Pisani, she's the executive director of the Idaho Council on Developmental Disabilities, and Rochelle Tierney, a mom of a child with disabilities. Thank you again.
Thank you, Gemma.